Okay, so I'm speaking from Judges chapter 12 tonight. Before we get into the passage, please feel free to open your Bibles there if you've got them with you. Before we get into the passage, just a brief reminder of where you were a couple of weeks ago when Chris spoke on a guy called Jephthah. I'm following up from where he left off. He spoke from chapter 10 and chapter 11. I'm speaking from chapter 12, and there's only 7 verses about Jephthah in chapter 12, so we'll be going there. Chris spoke a couple of weeks ago about this guy Jephthah, and he spoke about the fact that he'd been leading the Israelites, and they were in a big battle against the Ammonites. This was in around 1070 BC. He was leading God's people as a judge God had appointed over them. He won this with God's help and with the help of the army. They won this amazing battle against the Ammonites. And then Chris told you, if you were here, if not, you can hear it on the South Parade website. Jephthah made a really rash vow in his gratitude to God. So that on his way back home, he said to God, "Whatever comes out of my house, I will sacrifice to you." And it was his only child, it was his daughter, who he then went on to sacrifice. There's a lesson there. We need to be careful what we promise. But there was no faulting his desire to please God. And there was no mistaking his gratitude as to what God had enabled him and the people with him to experience. And where I'm reading tonight is what happens straight after that. Judges chapter 12. This is when he's in another battle, a battle he didn't want, he didn't seek, but he's battling with the Ephraimites. Judges 12 says, and I'm reading from the ESV, the extra sound version. Do you have the NIV there? Okay, it won't be too different. "The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, 'Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire.' And Jephthah said to them, 'I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites, and when I called you, you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?' Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim because they said, 'You are fugitives of Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh.' And the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, 'Let me go over,' the men of Gilead said to him, 'Are you an Ephraimite?' When he said, 'No,' they said to him, 'Then say Shibboleth.' And he said, 'Sibboleth,' for he could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan. At the time, 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell." Jephthah was from Gilead, by the way. So it's hard to know what to do with this passage. I've struggled with it ever since I haven't been working on it since I got the email, because Nathan is very well organized, contacted me in April, I think it was, and said, "Would you come and speak on this passage?" So that's what's going to happen. There is a helpful theme of adventure, which I'll be looking at as well. I think that's something that you've all been looking at recently. Adventures with God, is that right? Fantastic. And am I also right in understanding that this is the last sermon on this series? Okay. I've no idea what the rest of them have been like, apart from Chris's. But Chris's was very helpful for me in understanding more about Jephthah. And it's like a building block for this evening, I hope, what he spoke about 2 weeks ago. But it's hard to know what to do sometimes with passages in the Bible that don't have any obvious, immediate application and relevance to us here in this room and in this year, particularly when we're looking at the book of Judges. which was in a different time, when God related to people in a different way to how he relates to us now. It's really good to know that God's judgment doesn't fall on people today as it did in the days when Jephthah was around. God does no longer send armies out to kill people who are bringing destruction. We are no longer under the law. We are no longer, although we need to be wise and godly in how we live, we need to obey the laws of the land too. But we're no longer under a living by rules sort of way. We're actually under grace. God's new way of relating to people, instituted by Jesus, brought about by his death on the cross and his resurrection. Because he was judged, wasn't he? He took the judgment, he took the punishment for all sin ever. That's why we can sing the truths that we've sung already this evening. There were obviously no Christians in the book of Judges, but there were God's people, the Israelites. And because of Jesus, we too are included in that story. We too are God's people, aren't we? We're his family. Someone said earlier, brothers and sisters. What a privilege. Also, what a challenge to be part of God's family. I do believe there are some lessons for us as God's people here tonight from the passage. Like I said, I think the theme of adventure will help. One thing it's important to note when looking at judges is we are not judges of other people. We are not called to judge other people's behavior. Sadly, it doesn't happen as often as we would like, but a young man became a Christian not long ago at Lister Hill. And he said, now I'm a Christian, does that mean I can tell people off? Does that mean I can tell people what they shouldn't be doing if it's not making God happy? Well, that's not really what we're called to do, is it? We're called to model a certain lifestyle, maybe have a sensitive word if there's the right environment, but we're not called to judge. God is the judge, and in this time, he was judging people by sending them out, by eradicating evil in sometimes a military way. On to the theme of adventure, which is very current for you and is relevant for any Christian everywhere. It's right to see what it means. I wonder, what does the word adventure mean for you? Could one or two of you please be brave and just shout out a word or two? What does the word adventure bring up for you? It really can be anything.
Risk.
Thank you.
Excitement.
Wonderful. Excitement and risk. Any others?
Getting
to know the unknown. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Courage. What you don't know, you don't know.
Thank you. Courage, yeah.
Exploration.
Perfect. That's probably enough. Thank you for answering. And all different answers. I got some of those when I thought about it. I thought excitement and risk. For me, adventure sometimes means a shared journey. Although it's not always, is it? I also thought about change. But then actually, Chris spoke about that 2 weeks ago. He said that adventure with God brings change. I don't know if you've seen the latest Alpha material for the Alpha course. Bear Grylls is all over it, isn't he? We saw Bear Grylls at Heathrow Airport a few weeks ago. No doubt he was off on an adventure somewhere. But I'll tell you one thing, he didn't want anyone to talk to him. He didn't want to have a selfie or autograph or anything. He was on a mission. One thing he says, and you can find this on the internet, he talks about his faith in the Alpha publicity. And he talks about he's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and he's been in the coldest part of the world and he's done this and he's done that. But his greatest adventure is his faith journey. Following Jesus is Bear Grylls, in his own words, that's his greatest ever adventure. And that's a wonderful thing for us to think about as Christians, It might not always feel like it, but is it our greatest adventure? To be knowing and following Jesus and to be a Christian in 2017? That's a rhetorical question. Please just think about that. Chris was right in saying adventure with God brings change. Jephthah was changed by his adventures with God. But one thing that's important to remember is to experience change, to experience adventure with God, we've actually got to say yes to adventuring with him in the first place. If Jephthah had agreed to follow God, but then hadn't done anything else, he wouldn't have been very effective. Likewise, if we say yes to Jesus, if we know that we are saved, if we know that his spirit is in us, which, by the way, wasn't a daily experience Jephthah would have experienced, if we just become a Christian and then go and live on an island somewhere, we're not going to be very effective. We're going to miss out, aren't we, on some of the things God has in store for us, some of the ways that God would have us serve him, and we won't be fruitful. We might be in his kingdom, but we're not living a kingdom life. I want to challenge us tonight to think about the fact that every day is an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Every day is an opportunity to join in with what his spirit is doing. When we do say yes to him, we go further into his plans and purposes. We grow and we become fruitful. Jephthah had won a great war against the Ammonites, made a big error on his way home with that rash decision that he's remembered for. And then right here in chapter 12, he meets some guys who had come to cause trouble. The Ephraimites were also a tribe of Israel. They were also God's people. I wonder what this says to us, though, because they were saying they hadn't been asked to go to war. But Jephthah was saying, actually, I did ask you. And he didn't use the word, I ask you to help me. He used the word, I ask you to save me. He must have had faith. He must have had trust that these Ephraimites would have been so powerful or numerous that they would have been able to come and help him. And yet they didn't. And they had the audacity to turn up after the battle and say, you never asked us to come. How dare you not ask us to come? It is possible, if you will pardon the analogy, to be an Ephraimite Christian, to show up after all the work has been done and say, oh, if only I'd been here. It's possible to be an Ephraimite Christian by talking the talk, by giving God all the right words, but giving him nothing of our hearts or our time or our service. It's possible to be an Ephraimite Christian not showing up. And actually, I see it where I am. I sometimes see that if the sun's out, people will be in the park or whatever it might be. Not everyone, but it happens. And I dare say it happens here as well. God wants our all. He deserves it. So, you've heard the phrase, practice what you preach. And I don't want to tell you how to suck eggs, to use another cliche. But actually, practice what you preach is such an important part of being a Christian. It's not just about words, is it? It's about doing what we say we will do and learning from Jephthah, being wise in what we say we will do. In a moment, I'll speak about what Jesus said about the importance of words. But before that, a further brief look at the Ephraimites might be helpful. I've been reading about them this week, and they're all over the Old Testament. They were constantly falling into evil because of the choices they'd made. They were having adventures, But they weren't having them with God. They were having adventures that led to destruction because they were following evil. They were being deceived, thinking they could do all kinds of things and there'd be no consequences. In Isaiah 28, the Ephraimites are called drunkards. In Hosea 12, God says they multiplied violence and they made covenants with people who they shouldn't have done. In Judges chapter 8, only a few chapters away from here, they didn't show up for battle again. This is something that they were used to doing. They didn't help Gideon when he was fighting against the Midianites. And then they came up and told a lie to Jephthah, saying he didn't ask us to help when he did. And then they very quickly started threatening violence. They talked big but did little, and most of what they said or did was actually unhelpful and bad. If they were so keen to be involved, and if they were sure they hadn't been invited, why didn't they just rock up and help anyway? If we say yes to God, whatever the cost, whatever he asks us to do, the best thing to do is to see it through. And there'll be people here who know this better than me. So whatever your experiences are of saying yes to God, even if the cost has been great, even if he's called you to do something that you're really scared of on your adventures with him, it would be great if you would share with one another actually what God's done. Because he's good. Jephthah said yes to God and he followed him. And when he made a promise to him, he saw it through. On to those words of Jesus that I said I'd mention. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes, and your no, no." And he then goes on to say something quite big. He said that anything beyond this is from the evil one. Anything beyond this is from the devil. And I've been thinking about this and realizing how important integrity is to God. How important it is that we do what we say we will do. So there's something there about telling the truth, because God is not a God of deceit. He is a God of truth. And there's something in there about God not being a God of confusion. Sadly, there are a lot of flaky Christians in the world. And God doesn't want us to be flaky. He wants us to trust in him, not in ourselves, and to be wholly available to him. We can't give him our hearts if we're not worshipping with his people and if we're not serving him. He demands our lives, actually, and he deserves them. You may wonder what this shibboleth word is about, and I've been looking into that. In one sense, it's a bit mean, isn't it, to get someone who can't pronounce a word to try and pronounce a word? But at the same time, they needed to distinguish if the people they were encountering were from Ephraim or not. So that was their test. Accents can reveal a lot about us, can't they? I can only imagine how many accents there are in this room, or how many different dialects there are. We've all got different ways of speaking, and each one means that we can say some things well and some things not so well. I can't roll my R's, so I stopped learning Arabic. And Rachel and I have got a Dutch student staying with us, and she goes, quite a lot. But when I do that, I just bring phlegm up. I'm not actually very good at speaking Dutch either. The people from Ephraim couldn't say shh, so they said s. Hence they couldn't say shibboleth, they said sibboleth. Shibboleth, by the way, means ear of corn or river, but I think that's completely irrelevant to this passage. I think they were just saying it because it was difficult for them to say. And I believe, if you'll stay with me here, that we all have shibboleths in our vocabularies, in the words that we use. And I'll explain that, and then you'll see if you agree with me or not. Because when someone talks about the Bible, about spiritual things, about Jesus, I think we can tell quite a lot from the words that they use and how they say them. I think we can tell 9 times out of 10 if someone is a follower of Jesus by how they talk about him. And when people speak about Jesus in the Bible, we can tell, I think, quite a lot about if they believe, if they're struggling, if they don't believe at all, if they are having an experience of God. We can learn a lot about people from what they say and about how they say. And it's true that as much as our dialect, our accents can give us away, our everyday speech can actually tell other people a lot about what's going on in our hearts. Because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Holy Spirit testifies to our spirits, doesn't he? He lets us know when things are of God. He lets us know also when things are not right. And I think if we're listening to people's words and if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we can understand a lot about where people are coming from and even what they need. Others should be able to tell that we are Christians by how we talk. But of course, in practicing what we preach, they'll also be able to tell if we're following Jesus by what we do, how we are. It needs to be lived out. And the other thing that I think has really spoken to me over this past week, the main thing is that we need to be prepared to step up as God's people. Step up and do things we'd never dreamed of doing. Step up and fill a need if the people around us are not doing it. Now that could be a really daunting thing to hear. Let's look at verse 3 again. Jephthah says, "When I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand." Jephthah wanted help. He asked for it. He expected it would come. He had no reason not to. But he stepped up. Adventure is sometimes about stepping up. This whole thing about him not trusting in numbers reminded me of Gideon, when God whittled down the numbers in the army so that he, as God, would get the glory and not man. And it reminded me of the words in, I think it's Zephaniah, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." This life is not about what we can do or how good we are. It's about how great God is, and it's about him teaching us to rely on him and to trust him in all circumstances so that we can see his glory, so that we can see his glory and his kingdom here. Someone mentioned that something's happening in the manse. So you've got a new senior minister coming to South Parade. Is anyone excited about that?
Yes.
This side of the room are excited about that, a little bit. But you know, it's just gone 7:30 on a Sunday night, so I won't expect too much more excitement. But that's good. It's a good thing that God's calling has been recognized, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing for this church and every mission community that's connected to it and the communities in which they find themselves. That will have an impact. But he, even if he is Superman, will not be able to solve everything that needs solving. Will not be able to do everything that needs doing. God knows what's needed, and he chooses people like you and like me to step up and to do things that need doing. Peter is surely part of God's solution to what he wants to do, part of his plan. That's been affirmed. But so are you. If you are regular attendees, even members of South Parade or Scent, then you are part of what God wants to do. And I wonder what he's saying to you. I believe he'll be speaking to you. Sometimes it's hard to determine if it's God, isn't it? And in our busy lives, it can be hard, or we can find it hard, I should say, to make time to listen to what he's saying. But I wonder, what new ministries are going to start up because of the people in this room? It's really great to hear about the work with UCCF that's going on. That's really exciting. Be prepared to step up. It's not about doing more. It's about being prepared to do something new, I think. If we don't stick our heads above the parapet or put our faith on the line, or to use a Christian cliche, step out the boat, we won't know what God wants to do, because we'll be staying in a safe place. An adventure, some people would say, like faith, is spelt R-I-S-K. Someone said risk earlier. So, Jesus commanded us to go and do what he did. And he did amazing things. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He saw lives change as people encountered God's love. And they're the kind of things he's calling us to do as well, in different ways. I'm really excited that a small group from Lister Hill and a small group from South Parade are going to Soul Survivor this summer, where the young people will get the chance to pray those bold prayers. They might not see the dead raised, but they will see people healed. They will see faith grow. They will see lives changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful thing. Please pray for that. And a short testimony, Lister Hill, we've loved doing an Alpha course with Craig recently. We've loved, that's an adventure, isn't it? You never know what's going to happen. Well, working with Craig is an adventure, yeah. But Alpha is a great adventure. And we've seen at least one person come to faith, but we've also seen faith being awakened in people. We've seen people starting adventures of their own. And that's fantastic. I know there's lots of great things going on across South Parade, but every day as individuals, not just as a church, but every day as individuals is another step on our adventure with God. Rachel and I were at another church last week, and we heard this really great message. And some people would say that the Christian life is a call to mission, to joining in with God's mission. And it is, isn't it? Joining in with the adventure that God's already instigating. So some people would say, like we heard last week, if you don't know how to serve God, look at what he's doing and join in. Well, that's a good thing to do. But we heard this really challenging thing last week, which I think I want to share with you, is flip it on its head. Why not look at what the devil's doing? And why not oppose it? Worth a thought. I wonder what the devil's doing in this community. As God's people, we have power. We have authority to oppose and to overcome that. I think there's something about the things that we learn on our adventures. If Jephthah didn't step up, he wouldn't have known that he could lead God's people. Reminds me of Deborah in the book of Judges, when she had to step up and lead God's people because the other person, the military commander around her, wouldn't do it. If we don't step up into the gap, someone else will do it. We will miss out. In being prepared to step up an adventure with God, I think it helps us to realize that just as Jephthah experienced, people will let us down. Even well-meaning people, even the people we love the most. Christians do it. I do it. Jesus is the only one who will never let us down. His promises are always true. They never fail. He is yet to fail a single individual. And I believe tonight he is inviting each one of us to say yes to him. to trust him, to join in with what he's doing, to carry on with the journey, regardless of where we're at on that journey of faith with him, regardless of who joins us on the journey, and regardless of who drops off. As Paul wrote in Philippians 3, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way." And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So, in closing, in learning from Jephthah's experience and mirrored in this brief passage by Paul, adventure with God is about choosing to trust him, determining to keep going, being ready for whatever will come, and also following the example of those around us who have integrity, unlike the Ephraimites of Jephthah's day. Almost a final thought is, have any of you ever heard the phrase, "I feel like my whole life has led up to this moment"? Have you ever seen, if you ever watch a reality TV show, people go on the X Factor and they're like, "I feel like my whole life's been leading up to this moment." Yeah? I mean, and people in other walks of life say that too. But of course it has. Of course your whole life has led up to this moment. Otherwise you wouldn't be in that moment. So, our whole lives have led up to this moment of being here in this church at 7:45 on Sunday the 23rd of July 2017. And I wonder what we're going to do in this moment. In our hearts, I wonder what we're going to do in response to this call to adventure. Jesus did a wonderful thing in making the Holy Spirit available to all people. Most of the people in the Old Testament don't have the same experiences that we can have. Even the great heroes of faith who we look up to. So our whole lives have been leading up to this moment. What will we do with it? There is a prayer that's going to appear on the screen. Thank you. There's 7 slides, and these are taken from the book of Celtic Daily Prayer. And this is about trust. Regardless of where we're at in our faith journey and in our walk with God, I think one of the most profound things and important things we can learn is to trust him. Because if we trust him, we'll say yes to him. And if we do that, we'll grow and we'll learn and we'll be blessed and other people will be blessed and God will receive all the glory too. So trusting God is a really important thing. You may think it's unrelated to this passage, but I disagree. And I think it would be wonderful for those who want to say the words of this prayer out loud. I believe that at least one of these slides will be relevant to everybody in this room. And so if you'd indulge me, if you want to say, "God, I trust you, I want to adventure with you," could I ask you please just to stand? And what we'll do is we'll say the words of the prayer together. And if anyone would value prayer at the end, I'll happily pray with you. But my prayer's as good as anybody else's. This is a great way of determining to trust God regardless of what we're going through right now. So, together please. Lord, you have always given bread for the coming day. And though I am poor, today I believe. Lord, you have always given strength for the coming day. And though I am weak, today I believe. Lord, you have always given peace for the coming day. And though of anxious heart, today I believe. Lord, you have always kept me safe in trials. And now, tried as I am, today I believe. Lord, you have always marked the road for the coming day. And though it may be hidden, today I believe. Lord, you have always lightened this darkness of mine. And though the night is here, today I believe. Lord, you have always spoken when time was ripe. And though you be silent now, today I believe.